Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Heathen Hour. I am your co-host, Shannon Q. And as always, Godless Carinium is in the background, making sure that everything is running smoothly for us. And today we have a very special guest who is joining us, our very good friend, Scientist Mel. Say hi to everybody, Scientist Mel.
Hi, everybody, Scientist Mel.
Perfect. All right, and I have to apologize for my voice. I had baseball playoffs last weekend. I did a lot of screaming and played two soccer games yesterday and did more screaming. So I'm a little bit hoarse today. So I apologize to everybody. Maybe it'll be good. Who knows? Maybe me being more quiet will be better for everybody. So today we're going to have a little conversation about women in the STEM fields. Nothing controversial at all. As always, we like to shy away from controversy here. So we've decided to have Scientist Mel on because she is in the STEM fields and she is one of our favorites. So before we
Yay.
get going, Scientist Mel, why don't you tell everybody who you are in case they aren't familiar with you and where they can find you?
Okay, well, I'm known as Scientist Mel on the interwebs. I have a website, scientistmel.com. I'm on YouTube, I'm on Periscope. I do a weekly show every Saturday morning called The Science Of, where my viewers pick what it is that I talk about. I run a poll and then they vote for what it is I talk about. I get up early that morning, put it all together, and then I do a show live. I'm also working on a new show with Katie Paulson from Pathos called This Week in BS, where we talk about the latest and greatest in bad science. So, you can find me anywhere on the internet, on Twitter. I tend to be a lot on there. So, if you want to engage with me, that's a good way to do it. So, yay. And okay, so I guess, yes, I've worked in science. I was recently in industry in protein recombination. I also helped engineer breast cancer tests for my second graduate degree for my analytical chemistry degree. So, I'm all about the science and I picked up a lot of stuff associated with that and have my own input for the women in STEM stuff. So that's pretty cool.
Awesome. Well, really glad that you're here to have a conversation with us about
Yay! I'm
it. Yeah.
excited.
And it's a rare occasion that there's actually two women having a conversation about this and not just a whole big group of men.
How do women feel about women in STEM? Well, let's ask like 30 dudes.
I tried to get more men to, but it just failed, so.
Yeah, he tried. He tried to get somebody else to co-host for me so that I didn't have to be. Yeah. So, just to get going into it, so I'm going to bring up some of the things that I hear. I'm obviously not in a STEM field. I mean, I have a degree in a social science, so soft science. Yeah, it's fine, right?
Cool.
Yeah,
It's awesome.
it's totally cool. One of the objections that I frequently hear is that the reason that women aren't more prevalent in the STEM fields is because, we're just not interested in them. It's not, it's not what we want to do, right? So it's that our brains aren't geared that way. That's not what we want to do. So what do you have any input? That's a good jumping off point. I know you have lots more places to go, but what do you think about that?
Okay, so all I gotta say is ever since I was little, I always wanted a microscope. I wanted a chemistry set. I wanted like the little electrical boards that you could get and you could like make the circuits and stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody would ever buy those for me because they're in the boys section. And they're like, here's astronaut Barbie. I'm like, how do I play with this? Here she is. She's standing there. She's an astronaut. What do I do? There's like, I never understood how to play with Barbies. That just completely blew over my head. And so I have
I have
always
some
been interested.
experience there, so I could help you out with
Yeah, he's great at it.
that. But it's just, I've always been interested in science. But I tell you, I think we, and there are some studies associated with this, where we just kind of remove that out of girls as they're growing up. It doesn't mean that they're not interested in it. It's just, for whatever reason, teachers in different aspects and realms of society kind of tell girls, well, that's a boy's thing, you can't really do that. And one of the things when I was getting my degree in education, and that is that that's an inherent problem in that teachers can sometimes have this bias where they're maybe a bit harder on girls rather than boys, or they think that boys can do the math and the girls can't. And you have to actively make certain that you're not impressing that upon a child, because this is a very real thing that happened. So I had an English teacher. English teacher. I told her I was thinking about growing up and being a doctor or something like that. She goes, you're too stupid to even be a nurse. English teacher told me this when I was 12. And, you know, she was also kind of an abusive teacher. But, you know, I don't think it's that we don't want to be in there. And there's actually a lot of statistics that show that women are getting degrees in the STEM fields, but they're leaving the job. And there's one particular report I can talk about called Why So Few, where they go through and they look at all the doctoral fields and they jump into it. And I guess you can put the links to it. It's the study was done by the National Science Foundation. I guess I can put this in the chat if you guys want to look at it.
Yeah, please go right ahead. But, I think you might need to be modded though.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Okay.
I can add as a mod, that's fine.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So a lot of women are leaving the fields because of largely due to how they're being treated in the job force. And a lot of women don't pursue academia for many, many reasons, and we can jump into that as well. It's not that we can't. It's just that the bias.
So what did you mean by the way you're treated in academia? Is there, are women treated differently? Do you have any experience with that, a different kind of treatment?
Yes, I do. I have personal experience, and Harvard has a website. It's Women in STEM Resources, where they keep up with the latest studies and you know, reputable studies. Not all studies are good studies, so we gotta preempt it with that. Not all studies are good studies. You need to look at sample size. How do they crunch the numbers? How do they crunch the data? And this is where Shannon could be like jumping in on this, because some of this is social science. And so it's really still very, very important. But faculty has subtle gender bias. And there was a study done, science faculty subtle gender biases favor male students. This was Mass, Rakusin et al. In 2012. You have peers, male peers, who think women are less capable in the biology studies than themselves. You have in academia, there was another study that was done where they took similar resumes and put on them the name Karen and Brian. Equally as awesome resume, CVs, all of it laid out. People were more critical of Karen than they were of Brian. And they were more likely to hire Brian over Karen. And, you know, they just kind of gave like a little bit of scathing review sometimes on her resume. So, and this is at professor level, and there's also bias. Once you're in academia, there's a really, really, really hard push to publish. The more you publish, the more money you can get from the government to fund your research. And so they're not going to give you money unless you have publications. And so there is some bias in peer review that they tend to be a bit harsher towards women than they are men. And there's another study where women have to have more publications than men in order to be taken seriously. So just on the study side, there's a wealth of information that you can kind of dig through. And to be fair, this is still kind of relatively new territory that they're actively studying now. But the good news is they are pulling back some data to where you're able to go and check it out. And then I have my own personal experiences, if you want to hear about one.
So, what I hear you saying, if I'm understanding correctly, is that there's sort of an underlying, maybe innate sort of tacit, potentially even on recognized social stigmatization, where people, I hate to use this terminology, but people see women in specific sort of gender roles and males mm-hmm. in specific sort of gender roles when it comes to their professional careers. Mm-hmm. And even though on the surface level, like on the surface, when you're looking at it, women have the exact same opportunities, when mm-hmm. it comes down to, you know, the meat and potatoes of it, and you actually are applying to work in these fields, you're hitting up against a wall because there's that bias. And on top of that, what women initially are receiving messages societally that these aren't the fields for you. This isn't sort of the kind of role that you want to instantiate as a woman, because that's a typical sort of male thing. That may be changing a little bit more, I think, so than because you're seeing a few more prominent women around as opposed to, you know, none, which was what it was in the past. But I can't really speak towards the wall that you hit. Like I use my degree. I'm not a clinical psychologist, but I work in a field of my study, and I didn't hit that. I didn't personally hit that wall, but I'm not in a STEM field. I was perceptual cognition communications theory. So talking and communicating. And so who would think a woman would be good at that, right?
Oh my goodness.
So are you, if this may go well into sort of your anecdotal and personal experience. So did you ever come up against a wall where you felt you were equally as or more qualified than somebody else, but you were hitting a wall of stigmatization when you actually came to applying for a job?
Well, I was actually kind of forced into education because I wanted to pursue a graduate degree in biology. I received my first undergraduate degree in 2000, I think it was 2011. May of 2011. I went back as an adult and completed my degree. And I had done undergraduate research with a particular professor at the university. And after spending a year there, I didn't have like a 3.0, but to be quite honest, a lot of science people don't, because you have to take a year of physics. You have to take organic chemistry. Organic chemistry is the weed out class. That's what we call it. To my credit, my graduate GPA is 3.71. Okay, so that's my graduate. My undergrad, because I had changed my major so much, it's quite difficult and highly complicated. The tail end of my degree is like way better than before. Mm-hmm. And they knew that. So I did a year's worth of genetics research with this particular professor. And I really wanted, and he was actually on the graduate board of that university to, you know, move people into starting the master's program and then onto a PhD if I wanted to. And so I stood there and I looked at him. I was like, I'm really kind of interested in getting into graduate school here. And I would really like to, you know, work towards a post-grad degree, you know, in biology. And he looked at me and he said, science is hard and you're a girl. You should be a teacher. We need good teachers. Yes. He would not write me a letter of recommendation unless I became a teacher. I could not get him to write me. I spent a year with this man doing undergraduate research for him, and I could not get into that university because he didn't want me there.
And he specifically said, because you're a girl?
He said, science is hard. You're a girl. You should be a teacher.
Oh my goodness. That's bananas. Yes.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Facebook reminds me of this anniversary every year. So I'm like, because I posted on my Facebook wall, I'm like, I have never been discouraged from pursuing an education from a professor ever in my life. I mean, I spent a year with this man working with his zebrafish and stuff. Now, given it wasn't heavy freaking research, I was still getting my feet wet a little bit. But I wasn't disrespectful. I was really good with my studies. I had other professors that were willing to write me letters of recommendation. But he sits on the graduate board, and he's been there for a long freaking time. It's like a freaking old senator that won't die. You know, it's like that just stays there and just keeps getting reelected. But he's got to be pushing 70 now, and it's just. And he said this to me, and people, and what would I do? Some people are like, well, you should have reported him. I'm like, to who? Maybe I wanted to continue to go to school there. And if I report this man, I label myself as a troublemaker and possibly, you know, mess up any potential for me ever going to school there again for in any capacity, because graduate school is extremely rigorous and they're highly selective. And if you're a troublemaker, why would they want you there? They don't have to let you in. for any reason whatsoever.
And there's a lot of competition. You don't want to give yourself a moniker that somebody else may not have, because that may just slightly give them a competitive edge.
I mean, it took me getting a second. I got a master's of arts in teaching because I essentially was kind of pushed into that direction. I've been a fantastic teacher. I'm not bad at it. I'm actually quite good at it, which is nice, but I wanted to pursue more science research. So I got a second undergrad in biochemistry. I called a professor at the university in the chemistry department. I'm like, because I had taken so much chemistry. I'm like, well, after I got my master's, I'm like, how many classes do I need to get a second undergrad in science, like for biochemistry? He said 3. I said, okay, I'll do that next. So I got another degree in science. And then that department, at the chemistry department, was like, would you like to get a master's here? And I said, okay, they're letting me in. And I'm like, I'll just go that route and try to get some research experience. I'm not fantastic at chemistry. I did work my butt off and I learned a lot of things, and I'm grateful for the experiments, but that is a whole separate bunch of crazy, and I will not comment on all my experiences there, but it's everywhere. It is freaking everywhere. It's not exclusive to one department. And it's not exclusive to men either. You can have women that are gatekeepers that exhibit sexist behavior because you might threaten them.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I just wanted to bring up some of the statistics. I did look up some statistics. I shared them with you before the stream. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to show them on the screen. This is for the UK. And I got the statistics from Noel Plum. He did a video today about women in STEM fields, which is ironic. But so I'm just gonna show them here. It might be, oh, it's gonna be chopped up a little bit, but
that's okay.
We forgive you.
Yeah, so we have over here we have medicine and dentistry. But if you look at like the ratio from females to males in a lot of the subjects, like this one for instance, allied to medicine, is like just completely dominated by females. Also like 12 science subjects, the only one that's really dominated by males is engineering right here.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of them are almost exclusive. Well, there's some that are kind of close, like this business and administrative studies are pretty much the same. But if you look, that's a pretty daunting mm-hmm. list. So it shows that I think that it might be going in the other direction in the future. I don't know if you'd agree with that or not.
There are statistics, and I put the link to all of the resources that I've found. And Harvard Harvard site is great because it does have a lot of studies. I don't know if this is a solid connection or not, but it doesn't surprise me with the statistics in the UK, given the level of education in science, tech, engineering, and math compared to the US. I often go and look at the National Science Foundation and the studies that they do on science literacy. And the latest studies have come out in 2012. 1 in 4 people in the US thought the sun revolved around the earth. Now it's, instead of like 24.5%, it's now like 27%. So we're getting dumber. A huge portion of the U.S. doesn't accept evolution. They do appreciate scientists, but they don't quite understand a lot of science. So it's not surprising to me that there are statistics that show that women are more present in those fields. There are some statistics to show in the U.S. the problem with engineering, particularly computer engineering. Women are getting degrees in computer engineering, but they're leaving the field largely due to how they are treated, whether it's being passed up for promotions, hostile work environments, lack of female mentors, that sort of thing. So
yeah, in Canada also, there's a similar statistic. And Statistics Canada said that women graduated with degrees in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics more than ever before. Mm-hmm. In fact, a higher percentage of women are graduating with university degrees than their male counterparts. 67% of women in Canada attain a post-secondary degree compared to 62% of men. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing the same kind of thing. In the States, it's not, unsurprisingly, there is more mm-hmm. of a male-dominated STEM field thing than Canada or the UK, but I think there's a lot of times you'll run across like YouTube channels that are advocating for the other side. I don't know if you want to call them men's rights advocates or something like that, but or anti-fems.
Pop in my ass all the time on Twitter.
Yeah, but they'll use these kinds of statistics that show that women are they're graduating at a much higher rate than men now. So. I don't know.
Oh my goodness. It's really kind of funny. I was coming through this website with all of the links. Salaries for female physics faculty trail those for male colleagues. Quality of evidence revealing subtle gender biases and sciences in the eye of the beholder. That's where are the gender differences? Male priming boosts spatial skills in women. I mean, impact of gender on the curricula vitae of job applicants and tenure applicants, a national empirical study. So that study where they had the two CVs, one was Karen, one was Brian, that was a huge, it had 238 academic psychologists, 118 male and 120 females, evaluated a resume, randomly assigned a male or female name. And so the panels composed of male and female university psychology professors, and they were asked to evaluate the applications. And the panels preferred to hire Brian over Karen 2-1. Mm-hmm. And they were equally good. So it's just the mother penalty and the daddy bonus. So men who are fathers have a better chance of getting hired than women who are mothers.
Right. So. Well, the UK stats also show that men are still dominant in mathematical fields, like mathematics, mm-hmm. physical sciences, architecture, building and planning, computer science, and engineering and technology, mm-hmm. is still more than 50% male, like way more than computer sciences, for instance, is 82% male. So that's much bigger. And engineering is 85%, and architecture, mm-hmm. building and planning is 72%. So those are, but in the allied to medicine, veterinary services, biological sciences, medicine, and dentistry, it's pretty much the exact mm-hmm. opposite. Like it's 83% female. So mm-hmm. do you think that if you took out the, like you were talking earlier about how women or girls are more encouraged to play with dolls and things like that, do you think if you took that out of the equation, do you think that men and women would go more equal towards, I don't know, like you could say the same about men. Like I know in social services where I work, it's like eight to nine out of 10 women. Like I'm the only male in my mm-hmm. city that works with the people that I work with. So it's completely different. And I've been to conferences and stuff where I've asked where the bathroom is and they don't know because there's no other males. So you could see that definitely going the other way in some other fields, maybe nursing as well, I would assume, things like that. So do you think it would change? Do you think it would be do you think women would still be more apt to go into nursing kind of fields or medicine and that kind of stuff? Or do you think it would even out?
I think it's an overall societal issue. It starts young. Teacher influence is extremely important. Not only teacher influence, but parental influence is important. When you get into university, I'll use a personal example. There's not a lot of help for women when it comes to things that we are subjected to. All right. So I don't know if I still have a stalker. All my personal accounts are locked forever because of somebody who harassed me while I was at university. He called my lab. He pretended to be a police officer. He lives in London. And so lives in the UK, but he caused enough damage to where I had to report this thing to the department, while I was working on my second master's, and it affected my performance in my academics. It affected my performance in my research because I felt like I was under constant surveillance. Was he going to call the lab today? He tried to connect with my friends and my family. It was just absolutely horrible. So having that, there is absolutely no support whatsoever for something like that. I had to go to like the local psych place there at the university and go, how do I cope with this? I don't know how to cope with this and a demanding PI and a demanding bunch of academics, and I still have to deal with this, and now I have to get legal stuff involved because this man will not leave me alone. There's just nothing really in place to help a woman who's going through something like that. And if you don't have a solid, supportive research mentor, you're just screwed. And so the lack of effective women mentors and programs to help women who are going through things like that. I mean, I just, you know, I went to the graduate school and I was telling them what happened. They're like, well, did you call the police here? I'm like, he lives in London. What are they going to do? And so, and I had to hire a lawyer overseas who handled it for me, but there's nothing at the university in place to kind of deal with the stuff that's happening to you that the harassment. I mean, I was sexually harassed in undergrad by a guy who I had genetics with, evolution with. Every single day, he followed me around and commented on my body every single day. But I didn't report because I didn't want to be pegged as a troublemaker. I didn't know who this guy knew. I already have one professor telling me science is hard and you're a girl, you should be a teacher. And then I have this dude following me around saying things like this. I don't want them to think I can't handle doing the work, but there's nothing there to support women when this is happening to them to get through this. And there's not at least where I was, there wasn't much there that would encourage you to go and report this without fear of being labeled as a troublemaker. There's just nothing there. And you don't want people to think that you can't handle it, because if you can't handle it, they'll just kick you out of the program in a graduate school situation. So, I mean, because they can.
Right.
So the people that would argue, just to kind of play devil's advocate and also sort of give an answer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the girl. It's easier for me to play devil's advocate than poor GC. He'll get... So there's a couple of things.
I'm good at devil.
One thing that you are, well, you're already the devil. You don't need to be... I'm his advocate. So a couple of things. And this is just something that I frequently hear as an objection. So I'll hear an objection that, well, a woman says that I have unique circumstances and thus it makes it harder for me because my circumstances are unique. And since my circumstances are unique, there should be accommodations made for me in order to get into the field. And that's why there's less women, because there shouldn't be accommodations made, because if you can't hack it the way it is, then maybe you can't do it.
Then these people don't understand that we have a law called IDEA, where accommodations can be made for students who have learning disabilities, for students who have emotional disabilities. And if you get an IEP while you're in high school, that's an individual educational plan. If you get that, it carries over with you to university. And they're required by law to stick to that and accommodate you, whether you have behavioral issues, mental health issues, it doesn't matter what it is. You get that locked down in high school. It carries over with you. So it's not much of a stretch. And these people go on to be physicists. They go on to, you know, do STEM-based stuff. I mean, we get some of the most brilliant physicists we have are on the spectrum, but have autism.
But why would, you know, why would women... deserve, I guess, I don't know how best to say it, but I guess deserve to also have like an equivalent kind of IEP thing. Like, why would they get
special
treatment?
It's essentially like saying all women would have to have their own IEP just by being a woman.
Yeah.
You would need an IEP.
Yeah.
No, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think if you can show that you're being harassed and you're being stalked and you have this evidence here and you go I went to the department head and reported it. This is what I got in return. Nothing. I got absolutely no support whatsoever from my direct professor. I actually changed professors. My second professor, I love her and I will never speak ill of her. She was amazing. And to this day, I still contact her. She was a support for me. I will say that once I found a good supportive mentor to help me, it was fantastic. And she helped mold me and made it a wonderful once I got her. But the department overall, graduate school, no help whatsoever. And I had evidence to show that this was going on. So even if you do go through and in the end, I can't prove this, but in the end, my understanding was that somebody said I never reported it. I did, to the department chair, had a closed door meeting. I should have done a follow-up email so I could have it on record that, yes, we did. Here's the follow-up email. But again, I didn't necessarily want to be labeled a troublemaker. So if we had some kind of well-established thing in place, knowing that women, 1 in 6, are sexually assaulted, it's probably higher than that. They're prone to harassment almost daily. If you have some kind of evidence to show that and that it's affecting your academics, like prior to the incident, this is all fun and dandy. After this happened, now we're tanking, because there are studies that show that women who are harassed, women who have been assaulted, they drop out of school because they can't cope. I mean, and the financial loss that they have from not finishing their education is pretty substantial. And they miss out on work. I mean, I can give you. So I actually wrote an article about this on my website, scientistmel.com, on the Me Too movement when that started coming out, and how the financial issues associated with sexual assault and things like that. Now, I wasn't assaulted, but the harassment alone does. And, you know, and I did go to services there to try to figure out how to cope. So there is a record of that, but there was absolutely no give, no leeway. This man was calling my lab. My lab mates were there. So it's like there was no understanding whatsoever. Not even a, let me let her retake this test this one day. All I needed was to retake a test. That's it. And have a little bit of understanding from my direct research mentor at the time. I didn't have that. Not at all. So that's all I needed. And that they told me no. So.
And if you juxtapose that against a male experience in the same class, they, for the most part, wouldn't really have that experience of being harassed in, yeah, you know, in a class. Okay. So what I hear, mm-hmm, what I think some men hear when these types, mm-hmm, of conversations take place is they hear, when a woman is with a bunch of men, we're afraid of those men, or we think those men are going to harass us, and we're vilifying men by making those assumptions. Now, you have personal experience. Setting, mm-hmm, your personal experience aside, you've done some research going into this conversation. Would, mm-hmm, you say that the research supports that in these particular fields, or it? So why, I guess what I'm asking is, mm-hmm, why in other fields that would still have a collegiate classroom setting as opposed to STEM fields, would there be a differentiation where women can be successful in one group and not, and potentially not as successful in the other?
Okay. So in, you're talking about in a STEM classroom?
Yeah, like in a STEM field as opposed to, you know, if in a classroom where you're learning to be a teacher, you've had both of those experiences. So,
okay.
Like, why would one be safe and one be less safe, or one be more, why would one, a woman be pushed more towards one and pushed away from another, and how all of that interplays? That's a big question. I know.
So No, I'm fine. There's actually been some studies done associated with women in engineering who are in engineering classes. And a lot of the professors were not challenging the women. They weren't. They were giving them easier projects for them to try to go through and accomplish, and they were trying to give men more challenging and enthralling type of projects. And so the women were like given the easier stuff, and the guys are given the harder stuff. And so it's hard to navigate this when you've got bias coming from a professor, and if they're not willing, I have bias. I'm willing to accept that I have bias, and I actively work to keep it in check. But one of the solutions that that particular paper was suggesting is that you have more women mentors that are put into a department that's meant to deal with the various types of things that women go through.
Because we have having
an advocate there that can sit there and understand the different social and society things that women go through that are also a part of the field. So you have a woman engineer sitting there, and their entire job is to help be an advocate for women to make certain, are you being challenged? Are you getting what you need? Do you feel unsafe in a situation, without vilifying an entire group of men, but at least have somebody there that's a good solid mentor for the women in a department? That was offered as a solution to that sort of thing. So I think it's a good idea. So I don't know.
Paula Gia also asked in the chat, which is a really good question. He asked if the level of harassment is higher in STEM fields and other fields that have similar gender splits. Do you think that's the case, or?
I think it's very possible. I didn't experience any harassment when I was working on my Masters of Arts. I actually went to nursing school. I got all the way into clinicals. I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this. So I had taken all the I got into like my second round of clinic. There was no harassment there. They were really, really strict and hard on, and there was very few men there. There were like three guys in my entire class. Two of them were gay, and one guy was straight, and he was really cute. And so all the girls were like, I like him. And so we're like, we should go hang out with him, you know. And I had no gaydar whatsoever, so I was hitting on the gay guys. And they're like, you know he's gay. So I'm like, okay. So, you know, you have to be careful because it can go either way in that particular thing. So you might have women that are making guys feel uncomfortable in that particular situation. So, you know, you got to kind of take that into consideration as well, because women can make men feel uncomfortable, especially when there's an imbalance. So I could totally see that. But I experienced quite a bit, even at graduate school, in science versus arts. I did experience a substantially large amount of sexism and harassment in that regard. So it was kind of weird. You know, it feels very much like a boys' club.
Yeah. So what about you, Shannon? I was just going to ask you because you're both female, obviously. So in your field, did you
just assume my gender?
Paul assumed it. Paul assumed it.
I also expelled a child at one point, so that's
right. did you have to go through the same kind of issues, I guess, or harassment or whatever, as Mel?
I didn't really experience any harassment. I have to be perfectly honest with you. I didn't at all. But when I was on the students' union, I was relatively prominent figure in my school in the first university that I went to. And in the second university that I went to, I was working three or four jobs at a time. So I was only taking two courses per semester. And I was just in the classes and out of the classes. So it may be a different situation. But no, I wouldn't say so. I initially took English. After that, I transitioned into just taking a myriad of everything. And then from there, I focused heavily on psychology straight up through until I received my degree. So, I wouldn't say not out of the ordinary. I mean, there's always the day-to-day stuff. Like you'll go to a pub night and get pinned against a wall. But that happened to me, like not in a classroom, but in a university. Like I went to a pub night and I got pinned against a wall. I went to a rally for Shinerama, which was a fundraiser for cystic fibrosis that we did. and they volunteered me to be taped to a pole in a bikini on the street. And maybe I'm wrong. The more I'm talking about things, the more I'm like, maybe I'm wrong.
Wow, yeah. Hey, I was going to say, those sound pretty significant to me.
And I said, no, I don't really want to. And they convinced me to do it. And after I said I'd do it for 15 minutes to raise the money for the charity. And then they decided to ask people, this was while I was on the Students' Union, to pay $5 to write on me. People that were just walking down the street. This was in downtown Halifax. And people paid with a Sharpie. Took me a week to get it off. People paid $5 to write things on me. I was in a bikini taped to a pole on the street. And they wrote really gross things. Really gross things on me in Sharpie.
That's horrible.
Really gross things. Well, I raised almost $1,000 for cystic fibrosis. But yeah, but I was taped to the pole. I couldn't get out.
How many times does five go into $1,000?
No, some people paid more to do it.
Jesus.
Some people, a guy gave $100 if he could write on my inner thigh. And I was taped to a pole and I said, I'd prefer you not. And he said, too late. You're already taped to a pole. So maybe I'm wrong.
You sound wrong to me.
Yeah, I might be wrong. Sitting in the classroom. Sitting in a classroom? No, but outside of the classroom? Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Yeah.
I wanted to ask one more pretty popular anti-fem point that I've heard is that a lot of times women or feminists, I guess, will advocate for more women in STEM fields and high-paying positions such as a STEM field. But they don't worry about the lower paying jobs where men are completely overrepresented, dangerous jobs, jobs that you could lose your life at, those kinds of things. Do you think that's an issue, or why would they bring that up? What do you think? Oh, Mel,
we can't hear you.
We can't hear you, Mel.
Okay, what about now?
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll
turn up my mic. Okay. I'm not entirely certain why they would bring that up. I don't think women are saying, hey, you know, I don't want to be a part of that job. I actually think it would be really cool to be on like a crab fishing boat. But my understanding is they don't tend to like women there. And you have to like know the deadliest catch. I was like, boy, that'd be awesome. I could just work a season for like a couple weeks and then be set for the rest of the year and just like chill. You know, I'm like, that would be like freaking awesome. If I had the physical capability to do that, that sounds pretty freaking sweet to me. And to be fair, a lot of those jobs pay more money than a job in the STEM field. People think science makes all this money. It really doesn't. I can make more as a teacher than what a starting pay would be for a job in industry. And I have 4 degrees. So that's just, it's weird. And that's after sitting there and trying to negotiate a salary. I don't know. I don't have a problem with lower paying jobs. I used to clean toilets. So, I mean, I've cleaned toilets. I've worked in fast food. I've worked in retail, lower paying jobs in retail as a manager, as an assistant manager. Job is a job, but you know, it's like, I don't know.
I was more looking up, so I just looked up dangerous occupations, so the 20 most dangerous U.S. occupations and the percentage of male. This is from 2015. So like logging workers, 132 per 100,000 were fatally injured, percent 97.2% male, fishing workers 99.9, aircraft pilots 91.6, aircraft pilots would make a lot of money, roofers 97.7. Yeah. Refuse collectors, so I guess garbage men or garbage people, 89.6. And you go down that list, all the 20, every 20, there's none that are female. There's not one that's anywhere close to being fit. The closest one is farmers and ranchers, which is 76.1% male. So that's...
Can I contribute something that I think might be, and I've thought about this a little bit, and I think there aren't any perceived barriers to entry in those fields necessarily for women. You know, if I wished to be a garbage collector or, you know, and I know women who actually, I'm from Nova Scotia, bud. I know lots of fishermen who are women. So
there's no barriers to enter. There's no walls to knock down to get into those fields if you're a woman, just because women are predominantly, you know, clamoring over each other to get into that field. It's because there's perceived barriers to entry in the STEM fields that need to be analyzed. And saying, well, you guys don't want these jobs is just deflecting from the fact that there's the perception that there's barriers to entry in the STEM fields. So either explain to me why there aren't barriers to entry in STEM fields so that we can stay on the topic of conversation. Because maybe there aren't. Maybe there aren't and I'm not seeing it. Then that seems like a deflection to me. There aren't any barriers to entry in the fields. If women want those jobs, they can get them. The issue is, are there barriers to entry? Yes or no? Maybe there's barriers to entry in those fields. If there's barriers to entry, then let's talk about those. Maybe that's why there aren't women there. Let's fix it then.
That's a good point. I see, my knowledge is very limited on if there are barriers there or not. I've mostly been focusing on like the STEM-based barriers because that's
your field.
That's your field.
That's what I've been going through. You know, so it's kind of like, I read the studies for that. But there may be barriers for entry for those particular things. I don't necessarily, you know, think that women are like, hey, I want to go and get into logging. There may be chicks that totally want to do that. And
they feel like they can't, perhaps.
Maybe they feel like maybe the logging business is like highly, you know, looking at family thing. Maybe this family and this company has always done this thing and this is who they hire. I don't know. I have no idea. But there could be lots of different reasons.
Or it could be physiological too, right? I mean, in those fields, a lot of those fields are incredibly physical in nature and physiologically, admittedly so, men have, they're more physically capable in some instances than
they can build muscle faster than women.
They can build muscle faster than women and potentially have more stamina than women do.
Well, I think their main point, though, when they bring up those statistics, just thinking about it now, is that so you just said like, well, males are you know, I think the average is 25% more muscular upper body strength than a female.
Right.
But a lot of people will say like men are also more prone to taking risks and things like that, and that's why men choose to go into those fields, and they'll say the same about women in those specific. Like in medicine and all that kind of stuff. Right. They're in care fields because that's what nature versus nurture. That's their nature, right? Their nature is
to be more empathetic. But air fields are not high risk. Oh my God. You get a staph infection in a hospital, you're going to have it for a long time. And some staph infections don't go away.
Right.
Some care fields are not low risk.
And there's more types of risk than just physical risk too.
Yeah, but you don't have to be super empathetic to be a logger, right? Like you're gonna chop down trees.
And who says that it's nature too? Like, as a psychologist, as somebody who's studied psychology quite a bit, when I heard you say nature, that pinged with me because that is an ongoing debate and has been for couple centuries in the field of psychology, nature versus nurture. And it hasn't landed anywhere. It hasn't landed. The best that people can say is, you know, maybe 60-40 split, maybe 50-50 split, maybe 60-40 the other way. And even that, everybody's like, I don't know, we don't really have anything to really support it. So who's to say that it isn't nurture?
I'm not
definitively saying it is, but maybe we're socialized that way.
Yeah, that's what I was going for when I said, like, if you equaled everything out, so there's no gender bias. I know this would be impossible to do, but hypothetically, right? Hypothetically, there's no gender bias. Mm-hmm. You're both kind of raised the same. There's no, like, women, you should go into teaching, men, you should go into engineering. If you just equaled that all out, do you think that the nature of women would still see them go into medicine more often than men because they're just naturally more empathetic, and men go into dangerous jobs because they're naturally into risk taking or, you know, man stuff or whatever you want to call it?
Maybe.
I don't know.
So I don't understand what the debate is, though. So here's the things that I can't wrap my head around. So having the discussion about STEM fields, and I'm not in a STEM field, nor do I have any interest in going into a STEM field. So I'm one of those women that doesn't want to be in a STEM field.
You played with way too many Barbies.
I played with not any Barbies at all. Really, I'm a tomboy to a degree that's not even reasonable. I run a baseball league. I play competitive sports. I play soccer or football if you're British. And I like getting in the dirt and being in nature and riding four wheelers and drinking beer. And I'm not a girl in by any classical estimation. But here's the thing: having the conversations about this, what does it hurt? Like, nobody is trying to stop men from entering these fields. So what does having the conversation to try to figure out why women aren't,
I would disagree with you in part, because I know from in social services, for instance, men are sometimes discouraged from going in because because they're thought of as being predators sometimes, and your boss.
But why did you say you would disagree with me in part? What did I say that you're disagreeing with there?
The part about that there's no barriers to entry to some positions that are female dominated. I think there are, there are some.
Oh, I never said that. I'm so sorry if you thought that I did.
Oh, okay. No, I thought that's where you're going.
When you were talking about the dangerous male jobs.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just, barriers to entry at all. Mm-hmm. At all. Like, what's the harm in talking about, and it goes both ways, like you just said, right?
Right.
You found that there's a stigmatization mm-hmm. that is thrust upon you in your chosen field.
Yeah,
deserves to be talked about too.
Yeah, I've talked to people online that didn't see me or whatever. It was just like text chatting, and they'll say, "Hey, mm-hmm. what field are you in?" And I'll say social services, and they'll go, "Oh, are you a female?" Or I've had friends that are nurses and they're men, and they get fun of, right? By other men, obviously. You know, not too many women are making fun of them, but
yeah. So it goes both ways.
It does. And,
which is why these types of conversations about should happen. So that goes to my previous point, which is, why is it so upsetting to people that these conversations are taking place? Are they afraid that we're going to, that just by having these conversations, we're going to say, you need to take 50-50 women and men, and we're going to thrust women that don't want to be there and aren't capable into those fields and take those places away from men? Is that what it is?
I can't help but think sometimes some of these men get personally offended.
Why?
I get because I think perhaps they feel like they're being personally attacked because maybe, just maybe, that they're kind of a part of the problem in how they treat other women and what their expectations of what they think women should be. I actually met the son of the man who said, science is hard and you're a girl, you should be a teacher. I randomly met the son of that man at a party. And I told him, I said, this is what your dad said to me. Because I wanted more insight, because I was flabbergasted. He told me that sounds like something he would say, because that particular department is horrible to women. And he knows that they would be horrible to women. And so he's just telling you, science is hard, you're a girl, you should be a teacher, because they're just awful there.
So in his mind, he was protecting you.
I have no idea.
Is that what his son is saying? His son was saying,
no,
knew that if you're a woman and you go in there, they're going to eat you alive. And he was just trying to protect you from that hardship?
No, no, he said, my dad is an asshole.
Oh,
he agreed that his dad is dark. Wow. And his dad is perpetuating that environment.
Okay.
And so even his son is like, yeah, I hate my dad. And I'm like, this is just so weird. But he recognized, he knew that his dad recognized that the bias is there. And he just didn't care. And he's not looking to change that.
I wish we would just encourage kids or people in general, actually, just kids and adults alike, to pursue the things that they find interesting, that they want to do, instead of gendering it or making it some kind of, you're strong, so you can do this, but you can't do that. Or you're this age, so you can do this, but you can't do that. Just let people naturally do what they want to do. But we're running out of time, but last question from me anyways, unless Shannon's got one. I just wanted to ask, do you think it's changing at all? Do you see any, maybe from the time that you began in your STEM field to now, do you see any difference? Do you think that it's getting better or worse, or just kind of staying the same?
I will have to say it's not getting better. I left industry for very specific reasons. I don't feel comfortable getting into it right now, but it was largely due to me not really being challenged, and as well as some things that were going on with my job. I had to file certain complaints. I'll leave it at that. It's not getting better, at least not in the sense of where I've been, but it could be that particular place that I was at, maybe it was just too small. Maybe with the larger companies where you have more diversity, it might very well be. I know Google was actively trying to work to fix that. I know they've done lots of work to try to fix what's been going on with computer engineering and women. That's where a big, big, big problem is with the stats that I've seen, is primarily computer engineering. It just is going to take a lot of dialogue and a lot of talking and a lot of actively trying to work just to realize we all have bias, and that doesn't make us bad people. It doesn't at all. It makes us bad people when we don't keep it in check. And we let it run wild, and we let it, you know, affect our heavy decision making. So we all just got to realize, you know, we all have bias. We all have stuff like that. And we should all be talking about it and not going, you're biased and that's evil. No, I'm biased and I know that. And so I try to actively work to make certain that I know I tend to lean more this way. So I need to kind of fix this and make certain I'm not marginalizing this person over here. It is an active thing that you have to do, and it can be very difficult. And I think some people just don't want to have to think about it and don't want to think that, oh, I'm a biased person. They put a lot of stigma around that. You know, there's some good bias and there's bad bias. So just, I don't know. I think that's what it's going to have to take, is that people just going to have to realize we all have bias. That's okay. Just make certain you're not oppressing other people with it. That's all.
Okay. Awesome. Really quickly before we go, I want to address something that I saw in the chat. So I saw somebody in the chat say, woman victim, men bad, good argument. Now, that's my fear. When you bring these conversations to the forefront, people think when women talk about their experiences that they're saying all men are like this and all men are bad and we blame all the men. And that's not the case. Many times in these conversations, Mel has said herself that there are women that are subject to this innate bias as well. And
we actively discussed it in my field.
Yeah. So. And we actively discussed how it goes in the opposite direction too. This conversation's about perceived barriers to entry and what may cause them. This isn't about blaming anybody. This is about uncovering the fact that these things exist. These situations and these biases exist. I mean, there is a man, a male person in this group who is on the flip side of the coin, who is in a field that's not a STEM field, that's predominantly instantiated by women, that is feeling the same sort of stigmatization that most women feel when they go into these STEM fields. So we are not saying that men are bad or women are bad. We are saying, let's have a really good look at how our society is formulated and see if there are some things that we maybe could do better so that perhaps in the future, these conversations are a thing of the past. Mm-hmm. That's all we're saying. We are not saying women victim, men bad. Because a lot of women are badass and a lot of men are fantastic.
Yes.
Most men are fantastic.
I haven't felt like I've been blamed because I'm a man in this conversation. I thought it was a pleasant conversation. Interesting. I was good. I was good with it. I don't know. I think it's an interesting subject because I think it often gets talked about one-sidedly from one side or the other, right? Like, right. You either have you know, crazy people saying all men are horrible, or you have the opposite where saying, you know, women are crazy or whatever. And so,
you know, I will address one thing about women saying, well, all men are bad and all men are this. I think, and I wrote a little bit about my article. about how some women hate all men. And the way that I kind of think about that is that if you're dealing with a woman that hates all men, I really think the root of that is extensive trauma. The fact that they have been victimized many, 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 many times, have not been able to get help for what's been going on. And to be quite honest, if you're dealing with a woman who has been hurt many, 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 many times, you know, bad guys don't wear signs. And so if you're dealing with somebody who's like, I hate all men because of this and this and this and this, I mean, they've been traumatized repeatedly. So I can understand, I'm not saying that's a correct perception, but I can at least accept that I understand why a woman would hate all men, just like I could understand why a man would hate all women if women repeatedly like molested them and hurt them and stuff like that. Because bad people, male, female, do not wear signs. Just like some people are scared of dogs because they were bitten repeatedly by dogs. It's kind of a similar concept. So I don't agree that somebody should hate all men or hate all women, but I can at least get in their head and understand that there's a genuine fear there and there's a genuine, you know, trauma that needs to be addressed. So I think that's where a lot of that is, but you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I at least try to get into the mindset and say, now why would they think this way, and have a little bit of empathy to try to like, okay.
Oh, that's because you're a woman.
Just because I'm a woman.
That's just because you're a woman. Women are naturally empathetic.
Yeah, I just say fuck those guys. Just get rid of them.
Fuck doesn't care. He gives not a woe. None. Zero woes.
Well, thanks for joining us, Mel. It's been a great conversation. We'll have to have you on again for sure. Thank you, chat, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.